Hello and welcome into the Gotta Be Saints podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Gotta. Join me each week as I speak with future saints about being saints. Today's podcast is titled My Thoughts on Dating. I've done over 100 podcasts since starting the Gotta Be Saints podcast, and easily the most popular two podcasts have been on the subject of dating. But when I last recorded a podcast on that subject, I wasn't even dating my now wife. So I thought it was time to remedy that. So for today, I'm going to provide you all with a question and answer on my thoughts on dating. Now, of course, it is necessary to say that I'm not an expert on this subject. I'm not infallible. I don't have all the answers. These are my thoughts. So take them or leave them. I hope that some of them strike a chord. If you have questions, I hope that some of my answers make sense. I tend to see things with common sense. I tend to think that the answers are sometimes a little more plain than we make them. And you'll see that within my answer. So I've asked you, the follower, to submit some questions, and I've written those down. Before we begin, I want to, of course, shout out our sponsors. The Gotta Be Saints podcast is sponsored by The Catholic Company. They are a one-stop shop for all your Catholic needs, from rosaries to books to clothing. The Catholic Company has it all. Use code GBS for 20% off your order. That's code GBS for 20% off your order. And our other sponsor is Good Catholic. Good Catholic is a digital media-focused brand that produces wonderful series about the faith. If you have questions on the faith, Good Catholic is a wonderful resource. Each of those series is able to be purchased and downloaded on the Good Catholic website. If you use code GBS, you can get 20% off any order. That's code GBS for 20% off your order. Okay, now that I have kind of introduced our sponsors and even introduced what the purpose of this podcast is, I want to kind of get into it. So why I'm doing this podcast, as I said, I've had many people reach out. Oftentimes, especially when I post something about me and my wife, and people want to kind of hear about that. They want to hear my thoughts and opinions on this topic. And so I thought it was necessary to share that. Now, I plan to produce a podcast here shortly that is just based on dating and marriage, you know, what marriage has looked like. So I'm not going to go into too much depth there. I'm going to do that hopefully with my wife here in the coming months. But I will tell my story. So I am 29 years old. I was married last April 2nd. During the Lenten season, my wife and I met about a year and a month, or a year and 2 months before that. So 14 months before that, we met. And, well, the rest is kind of history. I started dating, or at least started dating seriously, by the time I got to college. I was certainly looking at my time in college as an opportunity to find my wife. You know, I looked at college for a lot of things. I'm here to get a degree. I'm here to be actively involved in as many extracurriculars as possible. I'm here to make a lot of friends, and I'm here to find my wife. I went to a small Catholic school. It seemed like the odds were in my favor, but of course, and I understood this, but it's not always about those things. It's about what does God have in store. And so I went to this Catholic college hoping that I would meet my spouse, and instead I didn't. I dated one girl while I was in college for a few months, and I took a few others on dates, and I almost dated 5 women or so. You know, I don't have an exact number, but, you know, I considered the idea of dating certain people, and in certain cases, they were interested in me, and others, not so much. And so that was, you know, my experience at 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. When I left college, when I moved to Virginia for my first job, started dating a girl pretty soon after. I got there in July, and I was dating someone by August. It was a friend of mine, somebody I'd known for years, and it was good. But after a few months, and I'll probably talk about this a little bit more later, but you know, it was certain that this was not it for me. Although, you know, on paper, this girl was what I was looking for. Like I said, I'll talk a little bit more about that later with some of these questions. From there, you know, went on dates with different people, but found myself, you know, living there for 3.5 years. And aside from that relationship that I had from the get-go, you know, it seemed like love was not for me. You know, a guy who at one point thought he'd be 21 when he got engaged, 22 when he got married, was now, you know, 25 or so, and had not found love. I, from there, moved to a new city, hopeful that in this new city I would, you know, find the person of my dreams. And it was in that new city that I experienced the love of the Father in a real way. I was living alone for the first time. I was away from my best friends that I had made in Northern Virginia. And yet God was filling me up. And I dated a girl shortly after moving there. But after a few months, we both realized that it wasn't right. And there was a, you know, another person that I almost dated. And so it was funny. I had been there for maybe just 6 months, 9 months. And I had already done as much dating in that short period as I had before that, maybe in the last 5 years. And then I finally dated this one girl, a friend of a friend. And I thought this person was it. I thought she could be the one. Now, I wasn't going and looking and buying rings at all, but she was just on paper everything that I would want. And I said to myself, you know, if this continues to go well, this could be it. And then, you know, reality hits. And I was this time broken up with. And it was similar to when I had last, you know, or similar to the situation I described in DC, where I was dating someone and on paper it sounded right, but it just wasn't. And I ended it, except for this time it was, she said that to me. And so, and it all come full circle. Well, for another year or so, there was, you know, limited dating. And again, I felt like it was passing me by in a certain sense. A lot of my friends were getting married, were dating. I had this hunger, this desire to give myself in that way. And yet the Lord just kept saying to me, be patient, trust me. And so that's where we finally get to the story where I meet my wife. Again, a friend of a friend introduced us, the same friend who introduced me to my last girlfriend. And I was skeptical. I said, oh, we've been down this road. I've been here before. I don't know if I want to do this again. And she said to me that, you know, basically you need to trust me here. Trust that this friend could be good for you. And I said, all right, you know what? I'll give it a chance. So I'll get on the phone with this girl. And we spoke about a week or so, 10 days after I texted her the first time. And pretty soon she was visiting me in Ohio, and pretty soon we were dating. And that's the story. You know, we dated and dated for what felt like forever, which was really only 7 months. And then we were engaged. And 6 months later, we got married. As again, I said, on April 2nd. So full circle, you know, my dating of my wife was a 13-month process. And I had many people tell me, wow, that was short. Well, I had 9 or 10 years of experience beforehand. You know, I'm 29 years old, as I said. It didn't feel short, you know, because the reality is the common phrase, it's true. When you know, you know. And so I think, you know, I do have a plethora of dating experience. And I think I've been fortunate enough to date well for the most part. You know, I've made mistakes, no doubt, but for the most part, I've dated well. And so I'm hopeful that some of the things that I've experienced, I can share with you at home, no matter what stage you're in. You know, for some of you, maybe you're in the stage where you've dated a lot and it just doesn't seem like you're ever going to find the person. Maybe you've never dated at all and you're just like, will I ever even go on a date? Or maybe, you know, you've been in a lot of casual situations, but you've never really found someone that you clicked with. Or you've been in long relationships, you know, that go a year or two, and yet they end up, you know, fizzling out, or you both come to a crossroad that you have to just decide, and you decide against it. I don't know your specific situation, but my hope is that I can talk and speak to anyone, or maybe hopefully, if you're married and you're listening to this, some of the things that I can say are also helpful, because dating does not end at the altar. And I'm going to be doing a podcast that should come out right after this one, and it's on dating well, and it's going to be with Annie Hickman. So I encourage you to be watching out for that. But dating well is a huge part of dating. And so of course I want to answer some of those questions that get to that point, but I also invite you to check out the podcast the week after this. So I want to just now go through some of the questions that you guys have thrown at me, and hopefully we can answer them well and you guys can gain something from that. So the first question that I want to answer, and hopefully I can timestamp this all so that anyone who's listening at home, if you just want to get straight to a certain question, you can just kind of go from there. But the first question I want to answer is, what does it mean to have your relationship centered in Christ? This is a great question, and I think it's something that we need to look at, something that we need to be thinking about as we're in a relationship. I don't think there's a perfect answer here, but I would say that it is willing the good of the other. To have Christ at the center means that you're willing the good of the other. You are looking past just what you gain from the relationship, you know, what it feels good. I feel good when this person tells me I'm beautiful, or I love it when this person gives me their time. You know, love is sacrificial. Real love involves sacrifice, self-denial. And so that has to be at the forefront of your relationship. So to have Christ at the center means that it's sacrificial, that you're willing the good of the other, and that heaven is at the forefront. If you are in a relationship and the person that you are dating does not care or does not help you grow in holiness, then that is not the relationship the Lord wants for you. End stop, plain and simple. If your relationship, if the person you're dating does not care about your holiness, does not help you grow in holiness, then that is not the relationship the Lord wants for you. Now, of course, that is not to say that somebody could be in a, could not, somebody could easily be in a relationship with someone who is not Catholic or even not Christian. The person could be a good person and could help you grow in holiness without those things being a reality. And yet it's very challenging. So if you're at home and you're saying, I'm dating a guy and he's not Christian at all, or I'm dating a girl and, you know, she's spiritual at best, But she's great. She just has all of the virtues that I would want, all the characteristics. I can take her home to my mom and my mom's excited. Then I'd say, okay, that's good. You know, they're, God can work with that. But they still have to will the good of you, and they still have to care about your holiness. And maybe in a secular term, it's, you know, it's just that phrase, willing the good. Maybe they just want to see you happy, and they have the virtues that are characteristic of a good Christian man or woman. Then you can continue to be in that relationship. But if that's not there, you know, that, it tells you something. And if you're unable to even speak about your faith within that relationship, then that's also a problem. That is not a Christ-centered relationship. Okay, the next question that I want to get to. Flirt to convert, date to convert. Should we do this? So this kind of goes with what I was saying there at the end. Flirt to convert. I love that phrase. I think it's funny. Date to convert. You know, marry to convert. So there's nothing wrong with this. This, again, goes to, do you see goodness in the other person? Maybe you meet someone, and maybe you just meet them at a bar, and they're just naturally easy to get along with. They're funny. You like being around them. Well, you talk to them, and it turns out they ask you on a date. You don't know much about them, but they're great, and they like you, and you like them. Great. I say, you know, give it a chance. But eventually rubber hits the road. And this idea, you know, when you're looking at someone you're dating, you should always be looking at someone that you could marry. Now, you're not going to know that right off the bat. In most situations, you're not going to know if someone is quote unquote marriage material, unless you personally have really, really good self-knowledge and just know yourself really well. In most cases, it's going to take a date or two before you're going to figure out if that person even is on that track or could be a potential. So always good to give somebody a chance. But when you're in a relationship, you have to be long-term thinking of marriage. And so when it comes to this idea of flirting to convert, dating to convert, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, how often are we influenced by the men and women we encounter, the men and women that we are close to? You know, they say good, bad company corrupts good morals, and the same can be said, you know, good company helps build up good morals. So within a relationship, you know, if you're around someone and they're not Christian or they're not faithful, you know, maybe they're nominally Christian or Catholic, but they're good, you know, there's nothing wrong with being with them and dating them and seeing where things go. If they treat you well, then that is a good sign. They have Christian ideals and natural laws written on their hearts. So if they're acting on that natural law in a positive way, that is good. But like I said, the rubber hits the road. And so when it comes to marriage, it does not mean that they need to be Catholic for you to marry them, but they do need to, again, will the good. They need to want to get to heaven with you. And so when we date, you know, there's always this idea that I'm going to date this person, and I think before we get engaged, I want them to become Catholic. You know, if you're serious in your faith, that oftentimes is something that is proposed. And yet my thought there is that's just, you know, sometimes it's good that you want that, but it's not an automatic. They're not automatically just going to come around even if they want to get married. And so for somebody who gets married and their spouse is not Catholic, if you go into that marriage thinking one day they will convert, you're doing them and yourself a great disservice, because although God is always operating, we have to believe that the person that we marry is the person we are marrying. And we don't go into a relationship, or we don't go into that vocation thinking that they are going to change or have some profound conversion. That's not how it works. And that's also not a healthy way to begin a relationship, most especially a marriage. So when you're dating someone, this idea of flirt to convert, there's nothing wrong with that. My wife, the amount of times she has made me a better person, it's daily. Every single day, she makes me want to be better because of her goodness. So that is real. The conversion is a constant one. It's something that I'm drawn to. And my wife helps me there. But this idea of long-term believing that within marriage, all of a sudden this person is going to have a light bulb switch, it's just not true. So just be aware of that.
We'll be right back.
Interested in learning more about your faith? I invite you to check out Good Catholic. They are a digital media brand focused on sharing and teaching about the faith. From podcasts to blogs to digital series, Good Catholic has it all. Use the code in the show notes to get 20% off your order at Good Catholic.
Okay, so how should a godly man treat a woman, or a godly woman treat a man? This question, I don't think I'll go into for too long, but I think it's pretty obvious how you're called to be treated. You know, you need to look at you just need to look to Scripture. And our Lord says, do to others as you would have them do to you. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's how we're supposed to treat someone. Treat them like we would treat ourselves, with respect, with love, patience, with understanding. And then, of course, you know, in turn, we need to be treated that way. So I think it's rather obvious, but we need to have standards. And the standards need to be high, because that's what we deserve. The next question is, what are some red flags to avoid? Are there any yellow flags that can be at least accepted to some degree? So within the red flag category, these things are pretty obvious. You know, let's say, firstly, they don't believe in God at all, and they don't follow natural law. So they basically, they mock your religion. They don't think that there's a heaven or a hell. You know, their actions are, if they really believe those things, how they act is not going to be in a way that you are going to be built up. It's not going to be willing the good of you. It's going to be very selfish. Those are red flags. You know, if they're constantly putting you down and putting down your love for Jesus Christ, walk away. If they are abusive, walk away. And get help if you need help. You know, I know that I say, if they're abusive, get help. I probably need to pause there. If that's your situation, I'm so sorry. And please, please, please find help, find somebody that you can trust, that you can go to. It's so essential. And just be safe. So those are some of the red flags. But yellow flags, those little things that kind of are like, I don't know. These differ per person. And I think you just have to know yourself here, because, you know, you want someone. For some relationships, the yellow flag might just be they're not Catholic, and they might never be. That's fair. You know, I think you have to know yourself again. Can I be in a relationship? Could I marry someone who one day, you know, when I'm at church on Sunday, they're going to be on the couch watching football? Can I do that forever? Maybe you can. But you know, maybe what would be better, if they're not Catholic, they're still coming to church with you on Sunday. Are they going to let you raise the kids Catholic? Another, you know, red flag in my mind, some would say it's a yellow flag. Like, if they don't want kids, that's a red flag. As Catholics, we are called to be open to life. Now, that doesn't mean that each and every one of us is going to have kids. That's just not the reality for some in God's plan. That's not part of it. But the openness needs to be there. And if it's not there from the person you're dating, that's a no. But anyway, that kind of answers that. I feel like the yellow flags, red flags, I think they're rather straightforward, but I think it just situation upon situation. It's hard to state just generally. Sometimes you need specifics there. Okay, the next question. They want to move in together, but we're just dating. Is cohabitation okay? The obvious or the one word answer is no. You know, cohabitation is not okay. The church highly, highly, highly speaks out against it. In a more specific or, you know, if we're looking at it situationally, there are situations where, you know, maybe you're engaged, you're getting married in a few months, and financially it doesn't make any sense. You know, there are situations where you can, in your head at least, bend it so that it makes sense. It's still not what the church prescribes. And if nothing else, even if you're living chastely, there's the sin of scandal. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word there. The sin of scandal is a part of it. So even at the, you know, even if you're living chastely while sharing a place, scandal is real, and that's a sin. So we're not supposed to do that. But then for all the other obvious reasons, you know, it's like marriage is so special. And even though, you know, you've heard the phrase, oh, I want to test drive, you know, the relationship. If we play house for a few months, we'll find out if we're compatible. That's not how it works. That's not how it's supposed to work. You know, we in this world, sometimes we want to take grace out of the equation. I've been married, like I said, now just under a year. And grace has never been more apparent to me in everything, but especially in my relationship with my spouse. I mean, the mysteries of our relationship and the mystery of the relationship with God and my spouse, it's beautiful, but it's something that I continue to learn about within my marriage that you don't learn about without the vocation, without those words being said on the altar. Commitment's real. It's necessary. So if your boyfriend or girlfriend wants, or your fiance wants to move in with you, talk about it. Say, I mean, of course, what I would tell you to do is say no, but talk about why. Answer, give me one real reason, good reason. And then, you know, maybe you can move forward, but I don't think there's a good one. Financially, I don't want to hear it. And this idea of test driving or plain house, you know, these are usually the common ones, and none of them hold. Okay, the next question. She or he is out of my league. How do I get them to want to be with me? I think this is, it's more of a common problem when you're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. You know, even those first couple of years out, or within relationships that are, you know, clearly physically based. But when you finally start looking for someone, and it's past just the physical, this is a question that you don't really find yourself asking. To get someone to like you, you have to be yourself and you have to be confident in yourself. If you have those traits, someone might not like you still, but they're not going to not like you because of the way you look, and they're not going to not like you because you are, quote unquote, not in their league. It's just, it's not the case. And so, I mean, my wife is way better looking than me. I mean, she's beautiful. And I don't think I'm an ugly person. I think I'm a good looking guy. But she's definitely better looking than I am. And that never once crossed my mind as I started talking to her and I asked her out, because at some point I knew what was more important to the woman was the fact that I was willing to risk embarrassment or rejection by speaking to her, by asking her out, that I was willing to listen to her, that I saw her needs sometimes even early on, you know, above my own. And now as I work in marriage, you know, trying to always put her needs above my own. Those were the things that made a woman who is as special as my wife want to be with me, not just for a few months, but forever. And that is what we're called to. That's what you want and I want. So that's my advice to you. There's nobody that is quote unquote out of your league. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody might not be interested in you and you can't feel that feeling of, it's just because I'm not good looking enough. And you know what? Maybe there is someone who's still caught up in the surface level realities, but anyone can tell you that beauty fades. It's the other things that are important. It's just, does this person love me? Do they care for me? Do they take care of me? Do they listen well? And if you can find someone who does those things, you're going to be very happy. And so that's my small bit of advice on this idea of, are they out of my league? All right, well, that's enough for part one of this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that you enjoyed me answering some of these questions. It's been fun to answer them. I love talking about this topic. If you're able to, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and give it a 5-star review if you like what you've heard. Share this with your friends and family, especially those who are looking for love in all the wrong places. May they find it in the right places. Again, this is sponsored by The Catholic Company and Good Catholic. Use code GBS for 20% off your order. That's code GBS for 20% off your order. Thanks, and join me again for part two.
Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe and check out goodcatholic.com for more details.